Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Technology is prompting sweeping changes for business models across many industries, and banks are no exception, with the digitization push yielding many opportunities and some challenges for some of the world's largest lending institutions. Today, we're joined by Alka Anbarasu, the Vice President and Senior Credit Officer at Moody's, to talk about what changes are they seeing and how it might shape how banks operate in the future. Ms. Anbarasu, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, thank you.
So I know that Moody's just held the Singapore Banking Summit the other day, and some very interesting things you highlighted in your particular talk. But nevertheless, we've seen some of the more challenging years for banks to try and maintain profitability in these volatile trading environments and lowering interest yields. How vital are cost reduction strategies now for banks, and what role does digitization play in helping them achieve these if they are important?
So on cost reduction is at the forefront of management decisions at most banks that we discuss. And indeed, you pointed out some of those topics, which are, say, a volatile trading environment, low interest rate environment. We're also entering into a phase where economic growth is slowing down across most countries, and we don't see a significant pickup in loan demand for banks as well. In this context, the core earnings of banks or interest margins are not growing or even sometimes getting suppressed in some markets. And hence, cost reduction is at the forefront of bank managers. And digitization is expected to play an important role in helping banks achieve this objective. We expect that banks will try to use digitization to bring down costs by, say, transferring some of the more routine type of transactions to digital channels and thereby reap benefits out of the investments made in digitization. We also think that banks will try to reduce their physical branch network and also will think twice before opening new branches because some of those services could be delivered via digital channels. So indeed, we do think that banks will try to bring down costs. Digital will play a role. But at the same time, we don't see those cost benefits emerge, at least in the near term, because banks are actually investing quite heavily in their digital strategies.
You did mention just now that you don't expect some of these benefits to emerge in the very near term or immediately. How long do you think might a bank have to wait before they start seeing the positive impact of some of these digital strategies?
It depends on where the banks are in their digital journey. Some banks are well ahead of the peers, and some banks are, in fact, have started only recently or yet to fully emerge themselves into the digital strategy. So it obviously depends on where the banks are in the phase. When we look at the data of some banks that are quite advanced in terms of the digital strategies, for instance, a bank like DBS in Singapore, that which has been investing in changes at the back end as well as in the front end for the past 5 years or so, we expect that cost benefits will come in for the banks, but may take more than 2 to 3 years to actually show up in terms of tangible benefits on their cost to income ratio. On the other hand, there are some banks who are still investing in their digital strategies, and we think that the cost benefits may take even longer to show up.
Nevertheless, there is a cost savings to be made for with regards to running banks in a more digital manner as opposed to, say, brick and mortar. Can you talk to us about if there is a dollar value to how big these changes might be for banks in terms of saving costs?
So I think putting a dollar amount to the cost savings is going to be difficult. But at the same time, I think there are a few metrics that can help us contextualize the topic. So first of all, we expect that banks will try to reduce their physical branch network. And we are already seeing in many advanced economies where branch networks have started to come down and banks are trying to shift most of their costs to digital channels or use alternate channels to target their customers. On top of this, as I mentioned, banks will try to perhaps do some cost savings by transferring more routine type of transactions, whether it's payments, whether it's checking bank statements, those to digital channels. And in fact, the cost of serving per customer for banks has been coming down because of greater use of digital channels. So that is what will add to the cost savings for banks in the say, next few years or so to come by.
We're still speaking to Ms. Alka Anbarasu, Vice President and Senior Credit Officer at Moody's. Banks, at least in the ASEAN region, institution have been embracing this digital push at varying speeds. We have seen that some banking sectors, you mentioned Singapore, embracing digitization more quickly than, say, some of their ASEAN peers. Why do you think that some banking sectors have embraced digitization faster than others? And why do you think some others are hesitating? Is this down to just a different customer preference in these bank sectors? Or do you think there are tech constraints? Why do you think there's been a different speed in adaptation or acceptance of digital changes and trends?
Indeed, the level of digital adoption or the digital change at the banks is quite varied. In fact, we do think that Singapore banks are amongst the global leaders, perhaps, in their digital strategies. I talked a little bit about DBS earlier. Also, the other two peers are well entrenched into their digital strategies. So, indeed, Singapore banks are somewhat ahead. There are other banks in the region as well who are quite advanced in terms of their digital strategies. Some banks in Thailand, there are a few banks in Malaysia who are also advanced, but at the same time, the level of digital penetration or adoption in other countries perhaps is not at the same pace as Singapore. And there could be few factors that perhaps differentiate banks in Singapore from other markets. So first of all, Singapore banking sector is well penetrated in Singapore. We are talking about a high income society. And on top of this, the banking market per se, the population or the banking market per se is not growing. So in this context, if banks want to perhaps have better cost efficiencies in this type of market, they may need to invest more in digital strategies. Also, the regulator of Singapore, MAS, is one of the thought leaders when it comes to regulations. And we do note that MAS is quite open to encouraging innovation and competition in the banking system. So in this context, also, we think the banks are investing in their digital strategies to defend their market positions against the new entrants. On top of it, there are some certain differences in the market structure. So, as I said, Singapore is a high-income society. The mobile penetration, internet penetration is much higher in Singapore than, say, compared to a Thailand or Indonesia. So, in this context, even for banks to push digital to their customers is much easier. And I think the final topic, why perhaps banks are more advanced, is could be to overcome growth challenges. So, this is a system that is fairly stable. Not that the banks are not able to grow their loans, but we are talking about a country where population is more or less stable. And in this context, if banks want to grow and bring down their costs, and then digital is another way for them to do so. Whereas in some other countries, the penetration has not yet caught up, and therefore banks perhaps are still investing in opening new branches or reaching the end customers where banking system has not yet penetrated.
I want to touch on that point you made a while ago about the different stages in terms of aging for these societies and how it's impacting banks. How are the changing demographics impacting the banks and how they're approaching digitization and perhaps how it's shaping their outlook in the future?
Indeed, demographics is rapidly changing. Population is rapidly aging across the world. If we look at some statistics, East Asia is going to be the world's fastest aging region. By 2030, the old age dependency ratio or the percentage of population above 65 years old in East Asia is expected to double from the current level. So, and within East Asia, perhaps the most aging societies include Hong Kong, Taiwan, Japan, Korea, to some extent even China and Thailand. At the same time, like closer to home, even Singapore, the population will age, but although it is not aging to the pace as some other countries. And this aging population or changing demographics is adding new, perhaps, dimensions to challenges for the banks. We have noted that in many countries, like, for instance, Japan, the net interest margins of banks have been declining because we think that banks are increasingly competing for the same customers and thereby pushing their costs, their pricing down. In the same market, loans to deposits ratios has declined over the years, which means that banks are facing challenges in growing their loans in context of where the deposit growth is coming up. And at the same time, the profitability of banks has been declining. So indeed, the changing demographics is adding new dimensions to challenges. We think banks will try to overcome some of these challenges via digitization that we have been discussing, because banks will try to improve productivity by bringing their costs down, perhaps try to reduce or prune down their branches. We also think that banks will try to increase cross-selling to customers. And that's where, again, digitization can perhaps help in having access to better data and be able to better target cross-selling. And finally, we think that banks in some of these countries will try to gravitate towards markets that are growing. So we know that in this region, for instance, banks from Japan or Taiwan are actively investing in banks or trying to acquire banks because these markets, at least the ASEAN markets, the populations are growing, and that can help banks mitigate the slowing population in their core countries.
When you talk about a move towards digitization, it also might mean heightened cyber vulnerabilities or cyber risks also. Talk to us about what Moody's is seeing about this, or talk to us about what Moody's is seeing with regards to these potential risks.
Yes, so cyber is a growing threat, and it's not just for banks, but for all organizations. We see the cyber as an event risk and a rising tide. Digitization, interoperability of supply chains, closer linkages of customer data is creating new vulnerabilities. Even the hacker ecosystem has evolved from individuals to companies and sometimes nation states. And the financial impact of cyber risk has reached billions in dollars and is increasing. At Moody's, we have prepared what we call as a cyber risk assessment, and we have tried to see which sectors are vulnerable to cyber risk and what would that mean for credit implications for those organizations. And as part of this study, we have concluded that banks are at a high risk of a cyber event. This is because banks deal with a lot of private data of customers. On top of this, a large part of banks' transactions is conducted through digital channels, and that is increasing. And the third point is that successful attack on a systemically important bank or an important bank can have system-wide repercussions because of the close linkages in the banking system. Hence, we think that banks are at a high risk. At the same time, we note that banks and regulators across the world have been investing heavily to develop the resilience against an attack. But nevertheless, we think that the credit implications will depend on the magnitude of financial and operational disruptions to a company, if any, from a cyber event.
And finally, Ms. Anbaras, before we let you go, this attack, how is it shaping the credit profiles of banks in the future? Or how does Moody's think this might shape bank credit profiles? Will we see an improvement? Will we see other risks or actually bettering metrics for with regards to how you guys are assessing credit profiles for these banks?
So overall, we've at least in the short term, we do think that there are perhaps more pressures in the short term, perhaps more from more micro factors such as deteriorating operating environment because economic growth is slowing down. U.S.-China trade tensions are creating pressures on growth in exports across the region. So in the near term, we do see that there are operating environment is becoming more challenging for banks in the region. If we move from just micro factors, which are perhaps, as I said, more near term, and we look at macro factors, so what we discussed, digitization, aging population, potentially cyber risk, these are actually creating new challenges for banking business model. And we think that these are changing, in fact, not just challenging, but changing the banking business model. And we think that banks who are perhaps more agile and innovative, they will adapt the new changes and try to overcome the issues. At the same time, it is possible that some laggard banks may get disrupted in the process.
Ms. Alka Anbarasu, the Vice President and Senior Credit Officer at Moody's, we thank you so much for joining today on Money FM 89.3.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.